Nyawezo, welcome. Africa, the second largest continent on Earth, is considered blessed by the hand of God. The motherland, as it is often called, due to the belief that it was the birthplace of humanity, is teeming with wildlife. A strong life energy exists in its emerald green jungles, which are the sanctuaries of exotic flora and fauna. Its majestic mountains hold Earth's hidden treasures of gold, platinum, and diamonds. The Nile winds and twists its way for over 4,000 miles northward from eastern Africa to Egypt, providing life source for countless creatures of God living under the limitless African sky. There are mountains on this earth which are revered and worshipped, such as Mount Kailas in the Himalayas, Mount Ararat, the holy mountain of Armenians, Mount Sinai in the Middle East, and Taichan in China. Most people in other parts of the world may not know, but Africa is also a land with many sacred mountains such as Mount Kenya, the Mountain of Brightness, Old Donyo-Lengaya, Mountain of the God, and Mount Kilimanjaro, the continent's highest peak. The lush slopes of Kilimanjaro are considered to be God's backyard, and its summit is believed to be the final resting place of the dead. Death is part of a cycle that is inevitable and inescapable, subsuming even the glorious civilization of Africa's past, which have come and gone, such as the great kingdoms of Queen of Sheba, Cleopatra, and King Menelik of Abyssinia. All that is left of their magnificent histories are archaeological treasures. Their songs and dances serve as distant memories of brilliant ancient times. Many great and gifted beings have emerged from the African ancestry, including Nelson Mandela, Martin Luther King Jr., actor Bill Cosby, and supermodel Iman, who exemplify the grace and the talents of the African people. God continues to bless Africa through a living master, whose mission of sharing the love from the Most High with humankind brought her to this land. In 1995, Supreme Master Ching Hai came to Côte d'Ivoire, the Ivory Coast, in West Africa. The First Lady of the Ivory Coast, Mrs. Henriette Betty, invited Supreme Master Ching Hai to the presidential palace as an honored guest. Upon learning of the condition of the local hospitals, Supreme Master Ching Hai immediately made a contribution to purchase necessities, equipment, and medicine. She then was accompanied by the Prince of the Ivory Coast to the orphanages in the city of Abidjan. Supreme Master Ching Hai then continued on her journey to the Kingdom of Benin, once one of the most advanced of African civilizations. The royal family had arranged for a grand reception at the airport to greet their national guest. King Aguli Agbo and his queen welcomed Supreme Master Ching Hai to their palace and expressed their honor at receiving her in their country. During her stay in Benin, Supreme Master Ching Hai also visited hospitals, poor villages, and several orphanages run by convent nuns. Supreme Master Ching Hai showered the children with her love and gifts. She also made a contribution to the orphanage of Saint Enfant Jesus in order for them to add more facilities. Before her departure from this country, the First Lady of Benin, Mrs. Nisifor Songlo, invited Supreme Master Ching Hai to her official residence, where a friendly meeting took place between them. Upon returning to Formosa, concerned for the welfare of its children, Supreme Master Ching Hai had more medical supplies shipped to Benin. The people of the Ivory Coast and Benin were most grateful to have had such a benevolent and compassionate guest who brought God's love to them and their lands. In subsequent years, Supreme Master Ching Hai and association members have also contributed through their International Red Cross and other humanitarian organizations to war victims in Rwanda, famine victims in Sudan, and spiritual organizations in Uganda. Association members continue to carry out such charitable work by reaching out and helping the poor, homeless, and orphans throughout the year. In November and December 1999, Supreme Master Ching Hai traveled to the great continent of Africa again during her Middle East and Africa tour titled Heaven is Only the Beginning. She was invited to lecture in three of South Africa's largest cities, Johannesburg, Durban, and Cape Town. Truth seekers in these cities yearn for the nectar of God to satisfy their inner longing. Following the Cape Town lecture, the last on her tour, an international retreat was held. Association members from all nations came together for the common purpose of praying for world peace. As Africa has gained the world's attention as a land of many cultures and beliefs, Cape Town, South Africa, was chosen as the ideal location to host the Parliament of the World's Religions on December 1st through 8, 1999. Supreme Master Ching Hai was among the world's spiritual and religious leaders who were invited to speak at the Parliament's opening ceremony and made a special prayer as well. Afterwards, a group of Zulu children dancers had the honor of meeting Supreme Master Ching Hai. Touched by their pure hearts and sincerity, Supreme Master Ching Hai made a generous contribution for them. During the course of her visit, Supreme Master Ching Hai not only shared the noble teachings of the truth with the people of South Africa, but also made philanthropic contributions to the poor and less fortunate, amounting to about $100,000. Many members of the media also requested to interview Supreme Master Ching Hai. Although her time was limited, she granted several interviews to some of the major newspapers, radio, and television stations. Everywhere she went, the African people warmly welcomed Supreme Master Ching Hai as an honored guest in their land as she brought a message of peace and love to their people. We invite you to listen to Supreme Master Ching Hai's lecture titled, The Mercy of God, delivered on November 27, 1999 in Cape Town, South Africa.
Gentlemen, like most of us, what was important to me was to earn money, to have the nice things in life, to have an excellent education, status, to be an important man in business, at work, to have a nice house, to have beautiful children, and a nice family. Most of these things were taken away from me 3 years ago. I lost my job. To make matters worse, my son developed a dreadful mental disease called schizophrenia. Schizophrenia. I couldn't pronounce that word before. Any one of you who's got children will understand that when you lose your son, you lose a lot. My daughter left the house to stay with her boyfriend. To my wife and I, you leave the house to get married or because you were promoted, and it was a non-event. The relationship between my wife and myself changed dramatically. She was now the earner. I was now the housewife, or sorry, the house husband. And I didn't do a good job at that either.
Because I was full of hatred for what life had done to me. What had I done to deserve all this? I was fortunate that my wife never let me down. She kept me. She fed me and she loved me. And for that I say thank you to her in public. I was also fortunate to be able to go to the Cape Mental Health Association and they kept me going. But still, that hatred and the traumatic stress disorder that I suffered
kept me mad. When I say mad, I was sick mentally. And I decided that I wanted to revenge myself. Revenge on those that have hurt me so badly. And that included God. Why did he have to choose my son to become schizophrenic? There's not a single ounce of malice in him. He's got a golden heart, and he's got to suffer that, and he knows it. Most of them don't know it. And I decided that I was going to commit suicide. Because the one person that had no reason to hurt me on this earth was the presiding officer in the court, the judge. And the other one, as far as I'm concerned, was God. I was going to give him his life back. And I decided that I didn't want to hurt people that didn't deserve to be hurt. So I wrote letters on the computer and I prepared. Every single person that who could possibly feel hurt or guilty for what I was about to do would receive a letter from me. And a week before I was going to go to the judge's house, where I knew he stayed, and hand him a letter, and then pour petrol over myself and set myself alight in front of everybody in his house, in his street. I went to a shop, and in that shop I bought what I had to, and when I came to pay at the counter, I saw the most loving eyes I've ever come across. The little green booklet that you have in front of you, those eyes looked at me, and I felt a whole hatred that I had built up over 3 years of fighting in the industrial court, like falling away from me. And there was a little notice to say that there was a messenger available to talk, and there would be a meeting. And the little voice talked to me and said, take the notice down and take the booklet. I didn't take the details of the message, of the venue, but I did take the booklet. I paid what I had to, made a joke with the lady, and went home. And when I came home, those eyes kept on looking at me, and I was touched. And I thought, no, I had to do something. So I phoned the shop and I said, listen, there was a notice there. Please tell me what the notice is. What is the telephone number? Because I want to contact these people. And the lady said to me, I'm sorry, sir. The manager does not allow any booklets, leaflets, or pamphlets, or whatever, on the wall, and certainly not on the counter. So I said, but I asked you for a little booklet where I could have one. And you said, yes, help yourself. She said, I didn't, because there never was a booklet in front of me. I said, but there was. I've got it in front of me. She said, sir, I remember exactly what you bought. Tell you how you paid for it, you know, in monetary values, and what coins and so on you gave me. And I can promise you it wasn't there. Please, she said, do me a favor. Look in the back of the booklet and phone the people there. You might find an old telephone number there. But leave me in peace. I've got work to do. So I phoned that book. I looked in the back and I got the telephone number and I phoned. And eventually I received a convenient method of meditation, which, as was explained, you just have to be a vegetarian for 10 days. Now, I used to eat a lot of meat. And when I say I used to eat a lot of meat, I mean it. And from the one day to the next, I didn't touch a piece of meat. I haven't eaten an egg since. I don't eat chicken, although I could eat a whole chicken by myself, not a problem, not that I'm proud of it. But I realized that since I didn't give life to any animal on this earth, who am I to take that right and deprive that animal of its life? Because all animals value their lives. The moment they know that they're going to lose their lives, they defend it. Every one of us, we value our lives. And we value our lives because we realize that we are here on this earth to learn what it is we've forgotten. As far as I'm concerned, what we are here to learn is to learn that one, we've got to love the person, he or her, whatever you want to call it, the creator. Call him Allah, call him God, call him Pampoon for all I care. And whilst before, I wanted to revenge on him. That is gone. That hatred which I had is completely gone. I have now more compassion towards my fellow human being. I try to be also more understanding, more tolerant towards my daughter, towards my son, towards my fellow human being. You know, we are different people the moment we are behind the wheel. We can have a beautiful girl and we will smile at her, but put her behind the wheel and you go behind the wheel, my boy, you got somebody else there. And when it is particularly to take a parking, and that woman is going to take your parking, you know what you do with her. You jump in front of her. Now, to learn that, to undo 60 years, that's what I will be next month, 60 years of bad habit, takes a lot of working. But I must say that meditation throughout the day, an awareness also of why we are here, has helped me to become a calmer person, a more satisfied person, a more compassionate person, I believe. I've learned that money is not everything. Status is not everything. In fact, it is there, gone in 1 second. That's what happened to me. Everything that I valued in a split second was gone. And unless we go through life appreciating and being thankful for what we have, we may lose it just like that. And the same with our life. Now, I'm not trying to impress you on the physical side or benefit of the Kuan Yin method of meditation. But 2 years ago, I suffered 4 heart attacks, 2 of which were deadly. The blockage was right on the top where it starts splitting. I experienced the most extreme pain that you can possibly imagine. The best way for me to describe it to you is to say, imagine you have pins and needles, times a million times from top to bottom. And whilst I was experiencing that pain, I felt that there was a woman that was caressing my hand, and I also felt enveloped by love. And I was quite, in spite of that pain, I was actually quite calm and peaceful. 6 months later, I went for a checkup at the hospital. And they put me through the paces. You know this thing that you go to walk? You walk up, they make it tighter and they make it faster. And the specialist kept on looking at me like this, and I looked at him, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and I said, what's his problem? And he said to me, are you okay? So I said, oh, I'm okay, no problem. He said, you're all right? So I said, I'm all right. I did 95% of the test. And when I finished with that, eventually that 95%, at one stage I said to him, you know, I feel a little bit tired here, you know? So he said, stop. So I stopped. He said, my friend, your file tells me that you have had 2 major heart attacks. That had you not changed your way of living, had you not become a vegetarian, if you would have been smoking, if you would have been overweight, if you would have been drinking, if you would have kept a stressful life, you would have been gone long time ago and your wife would have been a widow. So he said, you're very fortunate, but I can find very little record on the graph here. You look like a young guy. These are the experiences that I just wanted to give to you for your consideration. Thank you very much for being so patient and having listened.
We warmly welcome Master Suma Chinhai once again.
Welcome everyone to Cape Town. The most favorite in Africa, most favorite city. How's everyone? Are you feeling as good as I do? I know you've been working very hard for this evening. And may God bless you, your effort. I know you have been working hard, and God will reward you. Or you reward yourself, or best, you don't have any reward. Once in a lifetime, or once in many lifetimes, because not everyone has honor to be here like myself and meet so many intelligent people in one evening together like this. It is a great privilege, and I would like to tell you how grateful I am. And may God bless you, bless your country, and bless the world. Yes, they have prepared a lot, like 2 weeks for this evening. And I'm very, very grateful for all these generous, enthusiastic, and loving people. They are the one who deserve the most praise, the most loving comment. Without them, perhaps the world would have been different. Their effort is always appreciated, not only by myself, but I guess by all the people, by you as well. It is a great work. They have worked very hard. Please thank them for me. A lot of people here, there. They are really, really, I don't know, so highly developed people, yes. So for everything in this life, we prepared like that. We must prepare a long time for everything that we want to enjoy or everything we want to experience. We even prepare for the rainy day. We work hard and we spend some, and we put some in the bank or some in the saving account for some emergency. And we even save for retirement, and we prepared for the funeral service. But we forgot to prepare the road. So every one of us know that we do not live here very long. We do not stay here very long. But the worldly demand, the survival struggle, have always tried to make us forget what we are here for. Anyhow, all of us will leave this physical world one day. But not all of us prepared for that final departure. And that's why most of us are feeling uneasy and very fearful of that day. Even though some of us are very young still, already worry about the fearful day of departure. That is because we have not prepared very well for that day. We prepare for insurance, we prepare for sickness, we prepare for the house, mortgage and everything. But we have not prepared for the day that we depart from this world. For in the Bible it is mentioned that forsake the flesh for the spirit, learn to die so that you will begin to live. We read that every day, or more than once a day. But many of us do not know how to die daily so that we can know life as it truly is. Of course, that is all right also. That is all right also. Because we all have eternity to make choice again and again. I'm here today not to show you how to live your life, I want to show you how to die. Because only when we learn how to die and face death squarely, then we will not be afraid anymore of the unknown. Because once we die, it's just like we're living now, except much, much better condition. We're more free. We can move anywhere at a speed faster than light. We can have anything we want in an instant. And we are freer than the bird. And we can have access to God anytime, because we will be one with God. But that is if we're prepared for it. Because our thought is very powerful. In everyday life, whatever we think, whatever we desire the most, these things will come to us. And suppose at the time of departure from this world, if our thought were dwelling on something and it has not come true yet, we return again to this physical planet to live out our desire, to fulfill our wishes. So in order for someone who do not like to come back here again, or someone who would like to master the destiny of their future existence after this existence, there is a way to prepare for that. At the time of departure from this world, if our thought is very powerful about something, we will be drawn to that thing or that event or that desire. That when we are alive, we train our thought in a very positive way every day. We train as much as we can until it becomes second nature, until it becomes us. Then at the time of death, we will go where our thought leads us. Because we are the essence of God. We have God power within us, whether we are aware of it or not. So our thought is practically very, very powerful. If during our lifetime we have been brainwashed into believing that we are sinners, that we are a wretch, that we are unredeemable, that we are not worth the love of God, that we will go to hell, and then we have been described how terrible hell is, etc., etc., then at the time of death, if we believe in that, we will go to the so-called hell, even though hell doesn't exist. We create, or other people create for us. Since the old time, fear has been injected into our gene, into our brain, into our way of life, so that some group of people could have control over us and make us submissive to whatever their purpose, not always very noble. Therefore, in order to free ourselves, we have to be acquainted ourselves again with the true teaching of all the masters since ancient time. That teaching is God or Buddha or Allah is ever merciful. And we are the children of this highest power. And we will be forever loved, forgiven, and helped in any way possible in this life and the life after. I have seen that myself. I have seen God's power at work. I have seen only love and mercy in the realm of invisible as well as the realm of physical. There is no such thing as damnation or hell or revenge from God. Because even if our mortal parents love us and forgive us time again and again, our Godfather or Godmother would be even infinite time more forgiving, more loving. The only problem is we have long been brainwashed into thinking that we may be punished for whatever mistake we may make in this world, which we will do. We do all the time because of our physical brain and the physical body and the physical environment force us into making mistakes. Doesn't matter what mistake we make, God can always repair, so He would never condemn us or punish us in any way that we have been made to believe. That's the way I have discovered. So I would like to share it with you. And I hope that from today, you will keep this in your mind, whether you would like to study further with us or not. Just remember, God is merciful. And have no fear whatsoever. Either you're still here or you depart. At the time of departure, there will be beautiful beings of heaven waiting for us immediately as the soul leaves the body. The reason why many people have not been able to see this, including the death, because they have not prepared themselves. Maybe some of these people have prepared themselves in the wrong way, in a negative way, because they have thought that they've done something wrong in their life. So they expect damnation, they expect punishment, and that's what they will get. Whatever you believe, that shall be materialized, because you are God. You are one with God, always. Even though at the moment, due to the physical hindrance, some of us do not realize this. But we have nothing but God within, without us. We are nothing but God's essence. There's nowhere else we could go but within God's embrace, every time, 24 hours. We are separated from God because of our thinking, because of our deep-rooted belief that we are mere mortal. In order to remember this, that we are God again, we must train ourselves backward again. The way we have trained ourselves to think separate from God, we have to retrain in the opposite direction. And we will do that until finally it becomes automatic. And then because we contact God every day through our diligent and pure intention, practice, we will know for sure that we are one with God. So at the time of departure, there's nothing but God surround us, or heavenly beings that come and greet us to the higher dimension of love. Some of the dead people do not see this phenomena. Even though Jesus stand by, Buddha is near, they would not see this. Also, they would not realize that they could manifest anything at will, that they have the power of creativity in their hand, especially after leaving this physical body, the whole power will be given, will be returned to us again. Not returned, but then without the hindrance of this physical body, we will be all powerful again. Just like the day we were with God, just like the day we have not descended into this world. But some of us, when we depart from this world, because we did not know this secret, we did not learn this secret, we did not learn to master our thinking while we are in the physical body. So at the time of death, we forget even more. So some of us, or probably you have heard that some people who died came back and complaining that they are in hell and they need help, they need prayer or that, etc., etc. These are true also. But only true to these people. Not true as general. Not true to you and not true to me. For those who have learned the secret of the universe, who have learned the power of creativity, who have learned to be one with the universal, mighty power, they know everything, before they die and after they die. They are the master of their own destiny, anywhere, now and after. But to arrive there, we need some practice. It may take a few days, few weeks, or few months. Not only we practice to remember our own creative power only, but we practice so that we also enjoy heaven while living also, enjoy contacting with God's intelligence while we are still here on this planet, so that we can make use of this power to enhance our life and the lives of the people that walk on our path. But this takes some discipline, even though it is so easy. We would rather work for money. We would rather work for car, for house, for beauties, than to work to re-earn the kingdom of God again. Why? It's because our habit, whatever we have been trained to do since we were young, we continue doing that. The brain doesn't like change. The brain like everything just settled, simple, fixed. Every day the same routine. Whether bad or good, he likes that. He's very upset when some change takes place. Because the machine is like that. The brain is also only a machine. And even the power behind the brain, which is the mind, is also not very highly qualified for the purpose of attaining heaven. The mind is just like electric power behind the computer. So we have to return to the source of all wisdom and truth. Because if we do not train ourselves now, at the time of death, it will be too late. Our brain, our mind, our thinking has been fixed into some negative order. We have not enough time to escape from that or to repair from that. We can do so during the time that we sojourn in this planet. This is the easiest way. Because if we have not prepared for that day, we have not learn to know what we're doing and where we are going, then at the time of death we will be overwhelmed by different dimensional karma. Karma is the Sanskrit term for the law of cause and effect. Whatever we did in this lifetime will ingrain the impression in our thinking. And when we die, we bring it with us. So if we want to erase that, we must do some deep contemplation deep purification. We can call that meditation, contemplation, deep prayers. But we must do it correctly. There's very easy way to do it, but must be correct. Just like everything else, there's a way to do it, the correct way. And if we know that, it's very easy. At the time of departure, we all hope to go to heaven. We normally should. Every average citizen of the world will go to heaven. But there are different degree of enjoyment of heaven, just like different housings in Cape Town. Some house cheaper, some house more expensive, with more equipment, more comfort, swimming pool, etc., everything. Now, to the extent of our developed consciousness, to that extent we will enjoy heaven after we leave this physical world. That is, if we have trained ourselves sufficiently enough to ascend to heaven immediately after death, or else we would be sometimes hovering around for a while until we realize that we're really gone, that we have no longer a physical instrument to work with, that our speech will not be heard by our loved ones, that our wives or husband just bring another one in front of our nose every day to our bed, for example, and nothing we can do about it. Doesn't matter how much we complain, how much tantrum we throw, nobody understands nothing, nobody cares. And at that time, it's a great suffering for us. Also, we will be overwhelmed by the result of our thinking during our lifetime while in the physical body. During the time that we're living, if we keep thinking negatively, then when we die, that's what we get. Yeah? So when we die without preparing, without meditation on positive power, without connection with God's power, the negative thinking that we have during a lifetime will overwhelm us and take us to unpleasant places. And that's why people say there is hell. We could also escape from that hell if we are conscious enough at that time to walk out of our own prison. But most of the time, we have not been prepared, so we're weak. We're not strong enough to do that. So we have to stay in that negative atmosphere for a while, until it dies down. Now, there's another kind of pressure for us even. Not just that, not just our own individual created negativity or pressure or atmosphere or sphere. We have also the collective created consequence of the people in this planet, as well as our relatives and friends, closer speaking. Because we have not mastered the art of mastering our own destiny, we have not learned to walk the correct way to heaven, we will be strayed here and there, we will be pulled apart into different direction, or push into unpleasant scenery or planet, illusionary planet, which to us at that moment absolutely real. And that's how people say they enter hell and they suffer. But it must not be like that. Even though if you don't want to practice vegetarian compassion, even if you don't want to practice meditation with us, you should always tell yourself and remember that God is merciful. That is the only thought you should remember at the time of death. Then you will be clear enough to see that Jesus stands by, that heavens is opening the gate, that angels is greeting you with music of the celestial realm. You must remember something noble like that, that we are the sons and daughters of God, that we can never be anything lower than that, though nothing at all could harm us this is the thought should be ingrained in your mind. Like this, you will not fear the angel of death, because he doesn't really exist. It exists because we created him, because we believe in him during our lifetime. So he manifest. Whatever you wish shall be given unto you. Knock and it shall be opened, ask and it shall be given. Because in this planet, sometimes we ask for something, it doesn't come immediately. So we think it doesn't work. It works all the time. Just because we are hindered by this physical body, we cannot see the result immediately. Sometimes the result comes a little bit later, and we think we forget. We forget that we have wanted it. We think that, oh, this is just luck, or this is just bad fortune that these things happen to me. But nothing really happens without us wanting it in the first place. Also, of course, if we're not strong enough in our will, then the karma, the collective consciousness of negativity or positivity also affect us in daily life as well as the time of departure. In our daily life, we are more shielded by this physical ignorance. At least we do not know something bad's coming. But when we leave this physical protection, we will see everything. Everything affects us immediately. If we die and the loved ones was crying and lingering and missing us so much, and they cry and they suffer, we will feel it exactly as if we are suffering. That's why during the time of the loved one's departure, maybe the best is that we should just pray for them to go to heaven and enjoy and be liberated, and not praying, crying and lamenting and missing them so much, because that will make them also feel very miserable and delay their departure to the higher dimension. Death should be celebrated, not mourned for, because that is our final liberation. Nothing can touch us anymore. Nothing can harm us. Nothing can cover us anymore. We will know everything. We will be into everything. We'll be anywhere as a fraction of seconds. We have everything that we wish for come true immediately. But in order to prepare for a higher reward than just this, we should learn the art of mastery of our own destiny, of our own future, create our own heaven, prepare our own future, and do not let the atmosphere of other people or the karma of other people influence us and drag us here and there like a slave or like a dog. Because we are the master. We are the children of the ocean of love of God. We have dignity. We should walk like a God. We should act like a God. We should think like a God. It's not easy, because we have forgotten how to do that. But it's only a habit. And habit can be trained. It can be broken also with time, with time. During our busy activities, of course, it is difficult for us to control our thought and to train ourselves again into the glory of how we are. That's why we have to choose a little time span during our busy schedule to be quietly alone with ourselves, with God. At that time, we can concentrate our power of thinking, then we can correct the habit of our thought and make it positive. And day by day like this, we will become the Son of Heaven again, as it really is. That's why we should meditate every day, not just after initiation, because after initiation you're liberated already. You are a free man. You really are a free man. No one can touch you anymore. But in order to have a smoother life here and to enjoy heaven while we are still breathing, in order to remember, retrain ourselves into the presence of heaven, we must remind ourselves every day. It's not even enough, because we have been reminded time after time, long, long time, how bad we are. So now we have to remind us again how good we really are. And that's why it takes time. It takes everyday practice to remember this. You're not going to learn anything. You're just going to remember. Because there's nothing for you to learn. You are the King of Heaven. You're part of Heaven, part of the whole universal power. There's nothing you cannot do. Just take time to remember it again. I'm here to help you to remember. And it's not as difficult as you think. It's easier than making a living. It's easier than driving a car. It's easier than sleep. So it would be to our benefit that we should try. What do you think? Yes? Because it's so easy and simple. To some of us who could devote the whole heart and mind into regaining heaven, we can give you the whole instruction. And you meditate like 2-3 hours a day, or as much as you can. Like cut down a little of sleep, talk less on the phone, watch only important news on TV, and don't just sit there and watch whatever number of the qua. So then you will have a lot of time. We will find that we have a lot more time to spare if we cut down many of the unnecessary activities that we used to do just to kill time. Now the time we don't have to kill, we use it to live. We use it to resurrect our soul. Then not only we feel good and bless ourselves, we will bless others as well. Habit is hard to break. We all know that. But it doesn't mean impossible. Before, I couldn't drive a car. I just had license recently. And when I could drive the car, I feel, my God, I feel like a human being. I feel like everybody else in this planet. I was so proud. I want everybody to see that I'm driving. Yes, because I trained myself. First time I failed. Second time I failed. Third time I succeeded. Even to learn driving, it takes so long. It takes effort, money, and concentration. I still can do it. Yes, still can do it. Many other things like learning English, even learning to walk. We were born crawling, not even crawling, lying, helpless. As a baby, we know how to try. We try to crawl, and then we try to stand up, and then we try to toddling around, then we try to walk, and then we run, and then now we fly even. Everything is a process of learning. To a baby, it must have been impossible to see the adult running or riding bicycles or driving, jumping around, dancing. But to us, it's easy. Because we have tried, we have trained ourselves. Similarly, to go to heaven, we can train like that. It looks difficult at first, but it isn't. It is more difficult if we try ourselves, but it's not difficult if somebody else already know how and show us on-hand experience, on-hand teaching. It's very simple. That's why since ancient times, God has sent a lot of teachers to show us the way, because we have forgotten. To show us the way doesn't mean that person is better than us. We call him or her teacher just because in the beginning he teach you something. So we call them teacher in this planet. If somebody teach you something, we call them teacher of English, professor of mathematics, for example. But in the order of heaven, there is no one lower, no one higher. Just someone who walked the way first and show the one who walks later. And someone who knows the way already show us it's easier, it's less stressful, and more sure, and quicker. We could try to walk back to heaven ourselves, but then so many things we do not know on the road because we have forgotten. And sometimes it could be frightening. And that's why many people feel that they are not up to it. They're scared. But when you have somebody walking with you, holding hands and protect you, and show you where the way to walk and where to avoid, then the road is more pleasant. You have companion. It's quicker, it's easier.
Thank you.